Hey everybody, this is My Favorite Movies podcast. This is Leah Smith talking.
And I'm Allie O'Hannon.
This is going to be a weekly podcast focusing on the biggest movies of pop culture and really any movies that you guys want us to cover. We're kind of movie connoisseurs, that's why we're starting this podcast. This is just kind of a podcast, like, if you're obsessed with a movie and you can't stop thinking about it, hopefully we'll be able to, like, talk about it with you. Like, we're those annoying people after a movie that talks about it for, like, hours, dissecting every little thing.
Everything.
That's who we are. So today we'll be kind of, it's not really reviewing, but we're just going to call it reviewing. Mm-hmm. Avengers Endgame. We'll go over the plot, look into some fan theories, and then address all the what ifs.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not all the what ifs, but a good majority of the what ifs.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Basically, I just want to say this before we start. There will be spoilers in all of these. Just a heads up, if you haven't seen the movie yet and you want to listen to this podcast, don't, because we're just going to tell you everything that happens and it's just going to ruin it.
Yeah, there won't be any filters on this, so hopefully y'all are okay with cussing.
Oh yeah.
No filtering, just straight up opinions and facts from the movies, and we won't be, again, no filtering at all. Okay.
Okay, so basically the movie starts with... Okay. So the movie starts with Tony and Nebula in space after what happens with Thanos. And you see Tony sending a message to Pepper on his helmet and everything. And it's really emotional, and it's kind of like his farewells. But then here comes the goddess of Marvel. Captain Marvel comes in and she saves the day.
Yes, she brings both Tony and Nebula back to Earth, where Steve is the first one to see him. He must have felt so bad leaving off. He didn't know if Tony was alive. He didn't know. Like, the people on Earth didn't know anything about whether or not Tony was alive.
Yeah.
And they're super grateful. Steve feels, I can't imagine what Steve must have felt, you know, like, especially leaving off with the events of Civil War. Like, that was their last time communicating with each other.
Yeah.
So they find, so first off, we'll list all the superheroes that are there right now. So it's Pepper Potts, because she's a superhero to all of us. First woman of the MCU. Then it's Steve Rogers, Captain Marvel, Rocket, Nebula, Thor, and Natasha. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
And Hulk. Don't forget Hulk.
No, he's not there.
Yeah, he is. When they go, he wears the iron suit. Remember when he goes up?
Yes.
To kill Thanos.
Yes.
So they go up to some weird planet or whatever that Thanos calls his garden.
Yeah.
And
his retirement plan.
Yes. And Captain Marvel just fucking yeets herself in there and punches him in the fucking face and gets him in a chokehold so they can question him. He tells them that he used the stones to destroy the stones because they served their purpose already.
Mm-hmm. And just hearing that in the movie theater, your heart just sinks. Yes. You're like, oh fuck, now what's gonna happen?
Mm-hmm. How are they gonna fix this?
Yeah. So basically, everything that happens after he gets rid of the stones, Thor is just kind of upset or mad or something and just fucking kills him. He's like, no, I'm done with this, and just chops his head off. And he's like, he aimed for the head this time.
Yes. So they go back to Earth, and it flashes to 5 years in the future. So Thor, we'll just keep talking about Thor because we love that man.
Yes.
He is the most realistic character dealing with grief.
Yes.
I feel like there are many ways to deal with it, but I feel like his is the most common.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Basically, just their new Asgard place, and what did we say? Like, it was, like, Norway
or something. I think it's Norway.
We're not 100% sure. But basically, he just goes on this
huge bender.
Yeah. I don't...
Gets a beer belly, plays Fortnite. I don't know what's scarier, the fact that everybody's gone or the fact that Fortnite's still a thing.
Yes.
5 years in the future.
Oh my god. But it's just like, he outgrows his hair, his beard is long, it looks like he hasn't showered in weeks.
I would say months, man.
Yeah, and down in New Asgard, the only time that he ever comes out is to get provisions, which is beer.
I mean, food. That's all you need.
Yeah.
It's really all you need. We do love Thor. Especially yes. all the things that he's been through. I feel like he has lost the most. I know you feel the same way.
Yeah.
He lost his mom. He lost his dad. He lost his brother. Oh, we love Loki. And he lost half of his kingdom. He lost some of the Avengers that he was supposed to protect. Yes. And he feels so guilty because he was there in Infinity War. If you remember that stupid iconic line, "You should have gone for the head." He was right there. He could have done it, but he didn't. He made a mistake. And I feel like that weighs on him a lot.
Oh, yes. It probably does.
Another thing that I like about his character is that they keep his beer belly the whole entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a good representation of... I mean, it's not the best because, you know, most movies don't really show overweight characters or anything.
No,
they don't. They don't show LGBTQ characters. They don't show that kind of stuff. But this was better because, honestly, he was a hero. He's still worthy. He's still a hero, even though he's grieving and depressed. Like, his mm-hmm. mental state doesn't make him any less valid, you know?
Yeah.
So that was nice to see him. Like, they didn't cut to a corny montage of him working out and getting his abs yeah. back. Oh, God, he's still hot, though. And there is a one point where I do like his hair and beard a lot, but only during the part where he, like... I don't even know what he does, but, like, you know how in Ragnarok, they, like, him and Loki just, like, whoosh into, like, their mm-hmm. costumes? I don't know what else to call it, but costumes.
Yeah.
But this time, when he does that, like, his beard, like, braids itself, you
yes!
know?
Yes!
Oh, God, it's kind of hot. He looks like a Norse god.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. Who else?
Steve. Basically, he's your modern-day therapist now, after everything that has happened. Basically, he has a support group for people that they sit in a circle and talk about what has happened in these past 5 years. And one guy is speaking, and I think it's really the first time we actually ever see a homosexual relationship
yes.
or talked about it in one of these movies, mm-hmm. because he goes on a date with this guy, and he says that this guy... cried before the main dish
yeah.
and then he cried before dessert. They yeah. would talk about like what happened. He's just like, well, they got another date, so everything's better yeah. now. But he's your run-of-the-mill therapist,
yes.
you know. He's just sitting there and listening to you and just trying to make it better.
And I will say this, Valkyrie, we love her.
Yes.
She is actually represented as bisexual in the comics, and I know Taiki, the director of Thor Ragnarok, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he tried to get a scene in Endgame where she is shown as bisexual, which is pretty important, but it got cut, you know. It is a 3-hour movie, so it's kind
of
understandable.
There was a lot that was cut.
Yes. Isn't there, like, an hour that was cut of, like... tape or whatever?
I think. I'm not 100% sure.
So, Natasha serves as a command post, you know, so Captain Marvel's in space, Nebula and Rocket are in space, Rhodey is out trying to find Clint, who's gone on Winter Soldier on people, without the brainwashing, because he thinks it's not fair that his family died mm-hmm. and all these bad people can still walk around. And it's understandable. Like, it's an explanation, not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
He still does bad things, and I do think that in the next Avengers movie, coming out in 2023, I think, that hopefully it's shown a little bit. Tony goes and lives a pretty happy life with Pepper and his daughter. They have their baby, it's a girl, Morgan Stark. There, she's so cute.
Yeah, she is.
She's so freaking cute. You know, and they're pretty happy. They are. Like,
yeah.
he's still suffering from the trauma of Infinity War and being the only survivor and having mm-hmm. to see Peter die, a kid that he was supposed to take care of die. Oh, God, that's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ant-Man, yes?
Yes. Ant-Man, well, is it the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yes,
so
it's a post-credits scene.
Yeah, so at the end, He is going into the time realm. Is that what it is?
Quantum realm.
And basically, he's there and he's stuck there because Hope vanishes after Infinity War. Thanos snaps his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So he's stuck in there, and miraculously, a rat steps right on the button that he needs and he just shoots out the back of a van. He has no idea what's going on. Basically, from him in the quantum realm, it felt like 5 hours for him, not 5 years. So he has no idea. And he sees people at this memorial sort of thing. And you just see him frantically looking either for his daughter's name, for Hope's name. And then he finds his name.
Yes.
So basically it says he died in all of this. And he runs to his house where he lived with his daughter. And she's there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's all grown up now. And what kind of makes it worse is that he missed so much of her life. Almost all of it he missed. And that's...
Yeah. It's like he missed when she was growing up, when he was in jail.
Mm-hmm.
He missed some of her most... A good majority. He couldn't go to her soccer games or anything when he was on house arrest for helping Cap in Civil War.
Yeah.
And then he missed 5 years of her life. So now she's like almost an adult. She's a... I think she's 16 maybe?
Yeah.
She's a teenager now, a pretty late teenager, I'd think. And it's just so hard to imagine that, not being able to see your kid grow up. And, like, he is a good dad.
Yeah.
He's one of the best fathers of the MCU with Tony Stark. It's very heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
So, he goes to the headquarters, Avengers headquarters, and he comes up with this idea. He tells Nat and Cap that... He thinks that they could time travel with the little PIM particles, right? With those things and go into the quantum realm and find a way to save everybody. So they decide... So first they go to Tony Stark. And at first he's like, no, this is impossible. It's too much of a risk.
Yeah.
And, like, he could lose his daughter. He could make his daughter grow up without a father if this goes wrong. But then after they leave, he's doing dishes, you know, and he's like... What's wrong?
Lost in his own mind.
Yes. And then he accidentally sprays a picture of him and Peter and he wipes it down. And it's just, he thinks about it and then he starts to work on it and he figures it out because his power does not come from his machines. It comes from his brain.
Yes.
He is the most, he is a superhero. I think he is one of the best superheroes of the MCU. Probably the most. Well, achieved because he doesn't have any sort of genetic mutation. He didn't have somebody inject a serum into him. He doesn't need his machines because he has his brain. He makes his machines.
Yes.
Like, I read somewhere, I don't know what credit to do this with, but, like, he could be dropped in the middle of a desert and fly out in a rocket made of sand and cactus needles. That's how smart he is. So he figures it out and he has this conversation with his daughter. They're talking and at the end of like a bedtime story, she says to him, I love you 3000. So he goes out into like their living area talking to Pepper and he's like, she loves me 3000.
You were somewhere around the 900s or something.
Yes. It was very cute. It was a very big family dynamic. And it was just really heartwarming. Another thing they did very good in this movie was the humor. They added a lot of humor into this movie, and I feel like that's what makes it a Marvel movie. Of course, I would have appreciated more, because that's kind of my kind of movie, you know? I do like humor movies, but it was very well done.
So before Tony, like, agrees to do anything, they meet with Bruce. And Bruce... I don't even know how to explain it. Basically, him and Hulk mash into one. He finally finds some even ground with Hulk. And he's like this morphed green sort of creature. I don't even... It just kind of... You can't look away from it.
It makes you uncomfortable.
Yes. You know? I was very uncomfortable sitting there.
Like, it's not... Like, even the voice, too. Because, like, of course it's Mark Ruffalo, you know that. But at the same time, just like... It's odd. It's definitely a weird visual representation.
Yes.
But you know what? I'm happy for Bruce. He deserves some happiness, you know? Like, there's this one scene in, I believe it's Avengers. It might be Avengers. I don't remember what movie. And, like, Bruce's character arc is fantastic. It's, like, I don't know if you remember in Avengers. I'm going to say it's Avengers. If it's not, then whoops. But he's like, you tried to kill me. Don't worry. You can't. Because one time I put a bullet, I decided I couldn't handle it. And I put a bullet in my mouth and the other guy spit it out. And now he is happy with who he is. It is Avengers?
I think.
Okay. It's very nice to see him do that. Like, especially to grow. So they all meet up. Tony figures it out. They find a way to do all of it. So they come up together in these teams of, well, most of them are two. One of them's four. Because there are three stones in New York.
Yeah. So basically, they sit down and kind of have like this talk and everything and try to figure out where these stones were and how easily they could get them. So basically, there was three stones in New York in 2012, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Yes, in 2012.
So, because that was the time of the Avengers. Yes.
So there's three stones there at once. So Bruce, Steve, Tony, and
Scott Lang
all go to New York to get those stones. To get the Mind Stone, Time Stone, and Space Stone.
Yes.
So Bruce goes and gets the Time Stone.
Yes.
The Time Stone from the lady who had it before Doctor Strange. And basically, they're talking through everything. Before she even gives him this stone, they're like, okay, so if I take the stone out here, another branch comes off to an alternate universe. And so basically, Bruce is saying that they would take the stone, reverse everything, and then put the stone back, like, the exact moment they took it.
Yes.
And she's like, so if Doctor Strange gave Thanos the Time Stone, he had a reason to it. Yes. It's not just like he handed it over to surrender. He handed it over for a reason, and
like he saw the future in which they won.
Yes.
And this has to be it. Because Doctor Strange was supposed to be the best of all of them.
Yeah.
And he is. What a dilf. okay, so then Cap, Tony, and Scott Lang, they go to it's not Avengers Towers, it might be S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters.
No, I think it's Avengers headquarters.
It was Avengers headquarters?
It was the tower,
yeah. It was the tower, yes. And, God, this is one of the most iconic scenes. It really is so great. Somebody goes, Loki's there, we love Loki, we stan him. He's just a little baby boy who didn't deserve Odin's shit, but that's for another time. So he has the Tesseract. Yes. Yeah. He has a Tesseract. No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. Okay. And he, like, the Space Stone and the Mind Stone are there. So he goes, so Captain gets one of them by infiltrating an elevator full of agents. But he knows, because he's from the future, that one of them, the one who was holding the case, works for Hydra.
All of them did.
Yes.
All of them worked for Hydra.
So he, so this bitch, the theater erupted, man. Like, this was, it was so iconic. Everything is iconic about this movie.
Yeah.
So he goes over to him, the dude with the suitcase, and he's like, I need this. We can't give it to you, sir. Hail Hydra.
Leans over, Hail Hydra.
Yes.
And he gives him the fucking case.
Yes. God, it was iconic. Like, I can't, I don't think I can tell you everybody's faces in the movie theater. It was just jaw-dropping, smiling. It was like that one look of just like, fuck yeah, that's our boy.
Yes.
So Tony and Scott goes all small, you know, and has to give the 2012 Tony Stark a heart attack, you know.
Yeah,
naturally,
basically.
Like, he has to give him a fucking heart attack to get the stone. Except he fucks up somehow. Both of them fuck up.
No. Yes. Okay, yes.
Yes, both of them fuck up, and the thing, the stone, like the case the stone is in.
Yeah.
Like it goes away. They don't have it anymore.
Yeah. So basically what happens is that at the time, Hulk was trying to get on the elevator. The 2012 Hulk was trying to get on the elevator.
And he was mad.
And he was mad because there wasn't enough room for him and it was too heavy. So Tony tells him, the 2012 Tony tells him to walk down the stairs.
Yeah.
Okay, he walks down the stairs and he opens up the fucking door, just slams it right open, hits Tony, loses the case. The case goes to Loki. Loki, yes. And the case opens too. You would think that a case like this, holding a time or holding a stone like yes. that, wouldn't fucking open. It fucking opened, and Tony just, not Tony, Loki just grabs it and poof, gone. There goes the stone.
Yes, so that happens. Oh, also, don't forget the best scene in the fucking movie. So Captain meets, like 2012 Captain, and this fucking bitch. God, he's like, okay, one of my favorite parts of the movie is when he sees him, he's like, and Captain says, you gotta be shitting me. And they just start, you know, going ham on each other. They're both very stylish, whatever.
The 2012 Cap is like, I could do this all day. And then Captain, the like, modern day Cap is like, I know you can. Like, it was like, oh, fuck, I have to fight my own self.
And then he kicks his ass, which is very nice. And then he's like, you're right. This is America's ass.
Yes! Oh my god!
Finally. Because, I'm sorry, Chris Evans' ass in Avengers.
It's fucking amazing. Oh my god. That suit helps it. No, doesn't even help it. The suit alone just kind of magnifies it.
Yes.
His ass alone is amazing. With or without the suit.
Yeah, this isn't a movie podcast anymore. It's a Chris Evans' ass podcast.
Yes!
So that happens. I think that's it for them. Oh, no. So they only had enough Pym particles for them to travel once there and once back.
Yeah.
So they lose one of the stones. They have two of the three stones, but mm-hmm. they need all of the stones to snap everybody back.
Yeah.
So Tony and Steve go back in time again because they find a place where both more Pym particles are and the stone is. Mm-hmm. And Captain, I think it's Captain who knows because...
No, it's Tony.
Is it Tony who knows?
Yeah, because of his dad.
Yeah, but how would he know if, like, he's not born yet? We'll cut this out.
I have no idea. Okay, it's just one of them.
Okay.
I think
it's, one of them figures out when it is, like, when there's both Pym particles and the stone in mm-hmm. one place. So they go back to, like, 19, it might be the 80s, 90s? Tony Stark was born in, like, was it the 70s?
I think, yeah.
It might have been the 70s. I don't know time. I'm not a recent history person. I have no concept of how old people are at all. It's really bad. But so it was like around that time period. And they go like Steve goes and grabs the Pym particle so he can travel back while Tony disguises himself as a doctor, you know, and just like goes and grabs the, I think it's not the Aether, goes and grabs a space stone.
It's the Tesseract.
The Tesseract. Yeah. So he goes and grabs that. Steve. Okay. We will talk about this more at the end of the movie, but I think his obsession with Peggy is a little dramatic.
Yes.
And don't at me about this. It's just, it's my personal opinion. Like, move on, dude. You kissed her fucking granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of disgusting. So he goes and grabs the Pym particles. He has to hide in the little office room. And it turns out it's Peggy's room.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if you've seen the office meme where it's, like, the little blinds
things
across, Gyllenhaal, right? Not Gyllenhaal.
John Krasinski?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, him, and it's really fucking funny. It's really fucking funny. And it's, like, replaced, because, like, she's right there, and he's just staring at her so creepily.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they succeed, and they're able to get back up. He has a small conversation with his dad, but his dad's a bitch, so I don't care about it.
Hold on. Going back to Steve just standing there, any normal fucking person would have seen him fucking standing there. In my opinion, she walks right up to the fucking window and just looking at something. If that was me, it would have scared the fucking shit out of me. I would have fucking saw him. I would have.
There's something in your brain. I don't remember where I saw this. Again, I'm so bad at getting credits. Like, it's getting sources and stuff. I'll try in the future, but most likely it's not going to fucking happen. So, if there's some part of your brain where it's, like, it can sense when somebody's watching you. It's, like, kind of... I feel like it has to do something with adrenaline and something mm-hmm. with, like, paranoia and stuff. But, like, I cannot imagine that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they go back, whatever. And next is Nebula and Rhodey. They go to Morag. Yes? They go to Morag, where Star-Lord, where he gets the Power Stone.
I can't. I don't even know where to go with this because, like, I am a die-hard Chris Pratt Star-Lord fan. I kid you not. I fucking love this man, okay? And just to see him when he died in Infinity War, I fucking bawled my eyes out, okay? And then when I see him dancing there, acting like a fucking idiot, my heart just kind of pieces back together, but it's not whole.
And when Rhodey, so they do see him, like, they get the stone, they knock him out. When Rhodey sees him, like, for the first time, this is the first time meeting him, mind you, and he just, like, he looks at Nebula, and he's just like, so he's a fucking idiot?
Basically.
It's really funny. So they do get the stone, but little do they know, Thanos has hacked into the, like, 2012 Nebula's brain, because, like, something malfunctions. Like, there's some sort of, like, thing with the robotics in her head that senses that there's another Nebula there. So he finds out that what he did worked and that they're trying to stop it and find all the stones. So, yeah. And then when they try to go back into, like, the little time thing, Nebula isn't able to because Thanos, like, disables her almost. And then she's replaced with, she's kidnapped slash replaced by the 2012 Nebula. Yes. And that proves to be a lot of problems, but we're not even done with all the stones yet.
No.
So, Thor and Rocket, they go back to Asgard, right?
Yep.
They go back to Asgard to get the Reality Stone. And it's like,
if you remember, what was it, Dark World, where it was with the stone? Basically, his girlfriend,
Jane,
everything that he had, fucking, it just seeps right into her body. It's like liquid now. It's not even a stone. It's liquid that's in her body. Basically, Thor and Rocket have to go back. They just have to stick her with this thing. It extracts the stone and they can leave.
Yes.
Well, Thor, now that he's fat and he's
sad,
like, now he's like all depressed and everything, he can't do it. Mm-hmm. He sees his mother walking by and fucking chickens out. He's done. Yeah.
And his mom, she finds him and she talks to him a lot, you know, and it's very nice and it's so good for closure with Thor. And he almost breaks like the time continuum thing, like he almost fucks up a little bit.
Yeah.
But he doesn't because she doesn't let him tell her.
Yeah.
She doesn't let her.
About her fate and everything.
And another funny little tidbit here, not tidbit, but like line there is like, before she said goodbye to him, she just like, I need a salad, honey.
Yeah. I was telling him that he's too fucking fat. And I love that.
I think it was very cute and a very mother-son relationship. Like, she wasn't going to say anything, like, mean, you know, but just, like, just go ahead and eat a salad once in a while, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every once in a while is fine.
Yes. So, and then Rocket gets the stone from Jane, and, you know, they go back.
But before they leave, Thor was like, fuck, I need my hammer. Like, he took his hammer. Because if you remember Thor Ragnarok, his sister just fucking breaks it. You know? Like,
fucking Hela.
Whatever.
She's gorgeous, though.
Yes.
Yes.
But he takes the hammer and they go back.
Yes. So they go back. Then it's time to go to Vormir.
With Clint and Natasha.
Now, if you remember from Infinity War, the only way to get the Soul Stone
as a soul for a soul.
Yeah, so you have to lose somebody you love. Both of them love each other very much.
Yes.
It's very heartbreaking. There's going to be no jokes. This was no humor. This was just sadness, goddammit.
Yeah, so there was kind of a little something. Oh, what did he say? They're walking up the hill, and, like, Clint said something about walking up a fucking mountain. Like,
yeah.
He was done with that.
He was like, I bet fucking Rhodey didn't have to walk up. I bet the robot didn't have to walk up a fucking mountain or something like that. But it was just, Red Skull was there, he's there. And Natasha and Clint, they fight hard because neither one of them wants to lose each other.
Yeah.
Until finally Clint falls over, but Natasha saves him by connecting like an arrow to his belt so he couldn't fall. And then we will address a fan theory right after this because like it's a very big one. And she's like, One thing that makes me a little more at peace with all the deaths that happened is that they did die knowing that they were helping people.
Yeah.
That they were going to save it, and that their death was with a purpose.
Yes.
And, like, she gave a little smile. So did the next person who died that will, you know. And so she did fall. Yeah. And she died. And Clint woke up with the stone.
Yeah.
Natasha was the only one who didn't make it back. Yeah. So a theory about this... No, I'm going to do it at the end. I'll cut this part out. But God, it fucking hurts.
Yeah, it does.
God. What time do we get out of this?
44. We got 14 minutes.
Okay. Oh, where are we? So they get back from the quantum realm. All of them come back at the same time. It was like a weird sciencey thing that I don't understand. I don't care to understand it. Sorry, guys. So they get back. They have all the stones. Tony makes another gauntlet, you know.
Yeah.
We're just gonna call it a iron gauntlet, you know. And he makes it, and Hulk is the one who does it.
Yeah.
Thor wants to. One thing I do like about Tony is that he recognizes the trauma that Thor has gone through, and he recognizes that you are not in the state of mind to do this. Even though you are a god, you can't. You're not in the right place to do this. Mm-hmm. So Bruce/Hulk, they do it. They put it on. And it just makes my heart so happy. And
he snaps.
His arm is basically dead. He basically killed all the nerves in his arm, but he was the Hulk, so he was strong enough. And then it cuts to Clint's wife calling him, so they know that they're back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole fucking place explodes.
Oh, God. Thanos is back. This 2012 bitch is back.
Yes.
Okay.
Nebula opened the gate for him, you know, to come back and time travel. And it's... Okay, I will say this. I thought I'd be more mad at Nebula for going into space, but, like, I don't blame her in the slightest. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't mad at Thor in Infinity War. I was a little disappointed, but, like... Because, like, I knew he was disappointed, but, like, Nebula, she's been through so fucking much. She didn't know. There's no way to know that would happen. So, anybody who blames Nebula, I mean, all opinions are kind of valid as long as they're not racist, but it's very difficult to process. So, the whole place explodes. Rhodey is trapped underneath everything.
Rocket is with him.
Rhodey, Rocket, Hulk, and... Ant-Man.
And no, Ant-Man's not with them yet.
No, not yet. But he's, like, underneath all the rubble.
Yeah.
And then Clint is also underneath the rubble.
Yeah.
And Clint has the gauntlet.
Yeah.
He has all the stones, and now they're facing a war. So let's just keep going with that. So Hulk's trying to hold everything up. Ant-Man's, like, racing to get down there to, like, get big and, like, save everybody and grab everybody and get them out of the rubble. Because it's starting to flood, you know, water pipes break, all that kind of stuff. And... It's very hard.
Yeah.
So, the only people left above ground to fight Thanos are the OG3. I'm not gonna cry, I promise. It's Thor, Captain America, and Tony. All three of them, all powerful beings. The MCU. There's no other way to describe the MCU. Yeah. You cannot... Oh, God, it hurts so bad. And they fight. They fight so fucking hard. And... Cat and Tone, they all get flown away. It's not this part. Yes, it is this part where Steve picks up the hammer.
Yes!
He is so worthy!
So everyone is basically, so Tony is thrown, Captain is thrown.
Thor's almost dead.
And then there's Thor, and he's right there, and he's about to fucking die. And you just see Captain America pick up the fucking hammer, and he's like, no, bitch.
Cheers! Absolute just cheers going through everybody right then.
Yes.
It was wonderful. It was such a cinematic moment. It was so cinematically beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was very well done. And then Thor gets thrown, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you see, like, the hammer doesn't break or anything, but, like, it gets thrown, it gets taken away, and, like, Cap's shield starts to break.
Yeah.
And you can see in his eyes that he's like, we're gonna lose.
Yeah,
we're gonna lose again. And then he hears through his comms unit on your left, Sam Wilson is back because Doctor Strange created, because everybody came back.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange created all these portals. It was, I cannot even begin to express how beautiful it was. It was the most aesthetically pleasing war fight scene ever. It was just so moving. It gave everybody in the movie theater chills. Seeing Wakanda come, seeing Captain Marvel come back from space, seeing everybody
the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes!
Yes!
And when
Spider-Man
swung in, seeing Ant-Man rise up from the ground with everybody, and because he was fucking huge now, and it was just, I can't even begin, like, Valkyrie and the Asgardians coming.
Yes!
It was, I can't even begin to express, like, it makes me choked up thinking about it, just thinking about that moment in my head, all the portals, they have all the Time Lords and stuff. They have everybody there to fight this, because to now they are together, mm-hmm. and that's how it works.
So basically, while everyone outside is fighting and still, Clint is running through the fucking sewer yes. still with this gauntlet.
Yes.
And Thanos is like dog mutation sort of thing.
Yeah.
Are chasing him.
Yes.
So he's running through the sewer and he finally gets out and,
Okay, first, before we get to the next part of that, Tony and Peter get their reunion scene. And we needed that. Especially what's about to happen late in a bit. He hugs him. I don't know if you remember in Homecoming and Infinity War. But he tries to go in for a hug in Homecoming. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, we're not there yet. We're mm-hmm. not there yet. And then just like stuff like that. And then he finally gets his hug. And like, oh God. Tom Holland is a wonderful actor.
Yes.
I believe he is the best Spider-Man because he represents a teenager so well. Yes. He is such a great actor. So he gets his hug with Tony Stark, and then they go back to fighting, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he gets the gauntlet. This fucking 16-year-old boy gets the gauntlet, and it's very sad.
So basically, he's just flying through the air, trying to keep this gauntlet safe, mm-hmm. and try to not let Thanos or any one of his minions yeah. get it. Basically, he's the women of okay. MCU.
Okay, I will say this. This was probably the hottest scene. As a feminist, the hottest scene of the movie. Like, it was just every female superhero came around him because Captain Marvel took the gauntlet from him and he's like, I'll get it through. Mm-hmm. I will get it away from here. And he's like, how are you going to make it? And then, I don't remember, I think it was Shuri and Okoye. Yes, and they said,
she has backup.
Or, like, she has help. And yes. every single... So, Valkyrie. I can't even remember all of them, because...
Pepper was there in her fucking suit!
Yes! We love icons. So, Pepper, it was Valkyrie, it was Hope Van Dyne, like, the mm-hmm. Wasp. It was Okoye, it was Shuri, it was, of course, Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
A couple other Wakandians... And it was Gamora. It was Nebula.
Yes.
It was just so moving. Like, I teared up in this movie theater because you don't see that kind of representation in superheroes
no.
with women.
And
like, thinking of, like, all the little girls who will see that, all the little girls who see Captain Marvel, just, like, we can be superheroes. It's not
yeah.
strictly a man's world, you know?
Yeah.
It was just... It was so impactful. I loved it so much.
My favorite line towards the end of the movie was Peter is curled up in this little ball holding this gauntlet with
yeah.
both arms surrounding it, and Captain Marvel comes up and she's like, you got something for me, Peter Parker? And I died! I loved it so much.
Another really good part of the movie is when Captain and Peter met in Civil War, you know, like briefly when they were fighting,
mm-hmm.
and like to get his attention, he calls them Queens. Like, he just yells, hey, Queens! It was very, very cute. How much time do we have left?
5 minutes. We're almost done.
I just, like, popped my shoulder. We're not almost done, and you know what we're going to talk about. We still have all the fan theories and stuff to discuss.
Well, we can finish the plot.
Okay. So, Thanos does end up getting the stone. It knocks out of somebody's hand. I don't remember who. I don't think it was Marvel. Was it? No, it wasn't Captain Marvel. And it gets out of her hand. It gets out of somebody's hand, and he gets it. And he looks at Doctor Strange because they're winning. They
yeah.
are winning. And he doesn't have it quite yet at this point, but then he looks at Doctor Strange.
Iron Man
looks at Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange just puts up one finger. Just one.
Yeah.
And then Tony knows what he has to do.
Yeah. Basically, Thanos has the gauntlet on. He's ready to snap his fingers and have everyone die.
He's trying to destroy the entire world now.
Yes. So basically, here you go. You have, what was it? Was it? All of the women were trying to fight him too with this glove on.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what happened.
And Tony gets in. And he tries to get the thing off, but he was just distracting him.
Yeah.
And he grabs the stones. And his, like, you know, his nanotech or whatever?
Yeah.
It forms around to create a glove, another iron glove.
Yeah.
And you can just see it in his eyes. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is acting in this movie. Oh, God, it's fine.
It is amazing.
Like, you can see in his eyes that he knows what he has to do. That he has to do this to save his daughter, to save Pepper, to save everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he snaps his fingers. And it takes... It almost killed Hulk. This is a human man. And it... Like, everybody start... Like, the enemy starts to turn to dust. And so does Thanos. But Tony is not gonna make it. You know he's dying. You see him thin out. You see him in pain. And Spider-Man goes up to him. Peter Parker goes up to him.
He's like, Mr. Stark.
Please. Like, it goes from, I don't want to go, to, please don't go, Tony. Please don't go. And then Pepper pulls him away. Because, like, even she's like, he doesn't need to see this. He does not need to be here. And she's like, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Because she knows he's going to die. And she knows he's holding on for them. And that he's only going to be in more pain because of it.
Yeah.
And Tony, before he snaps his finger, he says, I am Iron Man.
Yeah.
And it's very...
It's very emotional.
Extremely emotional.
That last half hour is the most emotional I think from I've just, ever
like,
been.
From being pumped up almost to being like, let's go. And then to being like this. This moment was such a turning point, a pivotal point in the MCU, in the movie. And it hurts very badly.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony dies. Then it cuts to his funeral, where all the Avengers are, Guardians of the Galaxy, everybody, because they fought by him. And Harley from Iron Man 3. Yes.
Character who has ever been in, like, ever been, like, one of the superheroes or had been in one of these movies was there.
Yes.
Everyone was there.
Because Tony had that much of an impact on the world.
Yeah.
You know? And. Yeah, and he leaves a message for Morgan.
Yes.
And Pepper. And there is a little scene in there where you can tell that Steve is there, too.
Yeah.
Steve's in the background. And we will address that part because we have a lot of fan theories still to do things with. And he's just... It's so heartbreaking. At the end of the video, Tony says... Kind of like going back to what Morgan said when they last saw each other.
Yeah.
With and he was like, I love you 3,000, which makes it one of the most sad and iconic lines in the MCU.
Yes.
This movie was very, very good, but this part, man, there was something about Infinity War that I didn't like. I didn't like how it was like so much death and like, I didn't like Infinity War. We'll get to that at the end. But this movie, the only reason I wouldn't rewatch it is because of that. Is because of Tony Stark dying.
Yeah.
It's an end of an era, you know? And it's like, we grew up watching him become this person. We grew up with RDJ as Tony Stark. And now he's just gone, you know? And it's very hard. It makes us feel old.
Yeah,
it makes me feel really old.
We're not even that old.
Yeah, it's very hard. This movie was very difficult to get through, especially this part.
Oh, yeah.
And this is kind of one of the reasons we started the podcast, because ever since we've started this, like, ever since I saw the movie, I could not stop thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't stop thinking about how it felt so weird, you know, that, like, it was like that grief for a fictional character that...
Oh, yeah. This character you've known for, like, what? 10 to 15 years, almost?
No. Since 2008. But...
Okay, 11 years?
Yeah. But
It's just, like... It's almost like you have a small part in your heart And it just kind of lost something right there.
Yeah, it was very, very difficult. And we could talk about it for days, honestly. Oh, yeah. How it made us feel, how much we cried. So the funeral ends, because we don't want to bring this podcast down. And Steve Rogers goes to return all the stones. So Sam's there waiting for him, you know, and Bucky. And Sam goes, not Sam, sorry. Captain America goes back in time, returns all the stones, but he doesn't come back. It cuts to him just like on the bench. He meets him there because he stays in the past. He goes back to Peggy and they get their dance or whatever the fuck that shit is.
Yeah.
Opinion on that, I think that's bullshit. No, I don't agree with that. Okay, here's my thought. I can see both sides. I can very clearly see both sides. Yes, Steve has been through so much. He's been through so freaking much.
Oh, yeah.
And I completely understand that he's fought so many battles and he's tired and he wants to go back to Peggy. But the thing is, the world needs him. They need a familiar face. And he leaves Bucky there, his friend. Like, I don't know. I saw this somewhere, like, two parallels again. And it was Bucky when he said he wasn't worth it to finally realize that maybe he wasn't. You know, and Steve was always there for him, but he wasn't enough for Steve. He shouldn't even be alive, and he knows that. And I can't imagine how much of a toll that takes on him. And I don't know. I just don't agree with Steve's decision. I think that his preaching in the beginning of the movie of him needing, like, telling people to move on, he needs to move on. Yeah. You know?
He had to take his advice and just go with it. And I understand that you disagree, but at the same time, every superhero needs happiness, too.
Yes.
And if that happiness is in some, I don't even know what, like, delusional sort of thing he had, then so be it. But, like, every superhero needs some sort of happiness. And I think with everything that has happened, him staying in the back and him staying in the past and everything that happened, he kind of found some closure almost with himself. Like, he found something different.
I agree with you. I think that if anybody deserves peace, I mean, besides Tony Stark, but, like, he definitely deserves it. There's another thing that I saw. Again, no credit. We don't do credit here. Actually, we'll try, but no. Not today. And it was, like, Steve Rogers got the ending he never thought he would have.
Yeah.
And then Tony got the ending he always knew he didn't want, but he knew he would have, you know?
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, I still feel like Steve just cheated, you know? Because it's, like, yes, he had the ability, and I know this might cause backlash, but I just don't think that, and yes, I do understand that superheroes need happiness and peace of mind, but Bruce is all alone. Like, all those Avengers are all alone now. Because he's going to die soon. Sorry, but he's fucking old. Okay? He is old as shit. And I am happy he gave the shield to Falcon. That, to Sam Wilson. That was nice. But it just, again, it's another one of those endings that's just hard to process. You know? And I feel like I'm more mad at it than anything. Yes. Yeah. Because I don't know. He was one of those pivotal characters of the MCU of childhood for us. Like, we grew up seeing him. And Chris Evans, oh, God. Oh, we'll never be able to see him again in a Marvel movie, you know?
No.
It's very hard to process for me because I refuse to believe it. But it's fine. So that's the end of the movie. It sucks. I mean, it was so back to, like, my Infinity War thing. There was something about Infinity War that I didn't like, you know, that I think Endgame was better. Like, I never plan on watching Infinity War again. It just didn't have it had humor, it had all that stuff, but what's your opinion between Infinity War and Endgame?
Quite honestly, I loved Endgame so much more than Infinity War, but, like, me and my sister, like, plan on having, like, a Marvel marathon. But, like, I'd watch it again. Like, I'd watch Infinity War again. Mm-hmm. But it, like, wasn't one of my favorites. It was, like, it was like action after action after action. Like, it was like kind of like constantly moving, and it like the train was on full force the whole time, full speed ahead.
Like, it had a plot. It did very clearly have a plot. It had humor. It had all the stuff that Endgame had, but there was just something about it that just wasn't as, I think it was that constant battle scene. Like, the whole movie just seemed like an action sequence, you know?
Yeah.
And I did love the I did love the Tony Stark and Peter Parker getting, like, and becoming an Avenger, you know, and just, like, all that stuff. There were great parts of that movie, but it just didn't have the same resolution as Endgame did. Like, Endgame had that problem solving. Like, they had to do this.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem as important, almost, in Infinity War. Because, let's be honest, I would have killed Vision in a fucking heartbeat. I'm sorry, it might be rude, I love Wanda, but no, it would have been in a heartbeat, man, and he was even willing to do it. Between the world and him, even Tony Stark understood that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, fan theories. So, one of my, favorite slash least favorite fan theories that really hurts really badly, but it's fine. Is how Natasha died. How she went off Vormir, like the cliff of Vormir, to get the Soul Stone. So Red Skull says, like, son of, daughter of, you know, with the names and whatever. And it's very, and at first a lot of people didn't understand until, I don't know, some Tumblr user put it together. And it was like, she, like, that moment was so pivotal for her because she died, like, that was her decision. Like, she died so Clint's children wouldn't have to grow up without a father, because she knows what that's like. And then I just imagine her being so pissed and having being like, oh god, I died so no child would have to grow up without their father, and here's Tony Stark, he's right here with me. I feel like that's a very canon fan theory right there.
So there was one that I found, and it said, I just remembered that Steve said he'd be with Bucky till the end of the line. But guess what? They weren't with each other till the end of the goddamn line. And that, just reading that makes me just like, it's almost like he was selfish to go back. Now that I think about it and like I read through that again, it's just like he was selfish. Like, he was supposed to be with him to the end of the line,
This doesn't matter if you ship Stucky or not, or if you ship, like, it doesn't matter your ship. It's just, they were friends. Yep. And friends don't do that to friends. Like, yeah, I'm sure Bucky is, like, outwardly happy for him, and, like, maybe even a little bit inwardly, too. Like, okay, at least my friend got peace, but, like, there has to be a part of him that's, like, how could you do this to me?
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, that part, I just don't trust it. I don't like it, man. It's just not right. It's not right. That is not Steve Rogers. I just feel like that was so out of character for him, but it's fine.
Yeah. It was, Okay. So then there was another one that we both
saw. It's not so much a fan theory as, like, another alternate ending.
Yeah.
It's an alternate ending. It's from Tumblr, from Malfoy Malark.
So, picture the scene from Endgame. Thanos snaps his fingers and realizes the stones are not in the gauntlet. Carol rushes to her feet and kicks him away from them. She sees Tony with the stones, steps to his side, and lays a hand on his shoulder. The power of all stones flows through both of them. Rhodey goes to them and holds Carol's free hand. Steve sees what they are doing, and now the power of all stones combined is being shared between the three of them. He walks to Tony and holds his other hand. The rest of the Avengers follow. They're grabbing onto each other and sharing the brute of the power from the Infinity Stones. Tony does the snap, and instead of saying, "I'm Iron Man," we get a shot of every hero holding onto each other, facing Thanos. There's a close-up to Tony, and he says, "And we are the Avengers." Tony does not die, but is hurt enough to be forced to retire, is the ending of his Iron Man arc, and is the ending of the first generation of Avengers. I would have loved this ending. It was... just reading it is amazing.
I will say this, too. Weirdly, I am okay with Iron Man's ending.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, I am. I hate it, but it's just like, I will accept it in 2023 when it all takes place. Not now. But that ending would have been so cinematically beautiful. Like, just picture it in your mind. The glow of Captain Marvel. You see Wanda's eyes go red. You see everybody joined together to defeat one powerful force, just like he did in the beginning of the battle scene. Just imagine them all coming together. And it would have been a very, very beautiful moment.
Oh, it would have. Just like them coming together as one.
Yes.
And with that line, "And we are the Avengers," is probably the greatest thing I've ever seen. Just how that could have ended the movie was great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go over this whole thing has basically been our personal reaction, but you know, yeah. Let's do our little personal reaction, how we thought about it, and our favorite scenes from the movie. I'll go first. My favorite scenes, God, there's so many. I really liked the eat a salad scene with Thor and his mom. I liked, what other scene? I'll edit this out. God, it was just in my head. God damn it. Oh, that's America's ass scene. I loved that. I loved that scene. I loved when Peter and Tony got their hug finally. I loved when all those women came together, all the MCU women came together and protected Captain Marvel and helped her. I loved that. I loved when Wanda kicked Thanos' ass. He had to blow up everything just to stop her from killing him. Because that is how powerful that woman is. I loved when all the portals opened. That scene, again, one of the most cinematic scenes in history.
No kidding.
It gave everybody chills. It was beautiful. And I will say this. One of the most memorable scenes is Tony Stark dying. Like, it's definitely not my favorite scene of the movie just because it hurt so bad, but it's probably one of my favorite scenes in all the movies that I've seen just because it was so well done. The acting was so wonderful. It was very hard. So my personal reaction, I loved this movie. Better than Infinity War, maybe not better than Thor Ragnarok or anything, but it's definitely up there. I can't even begin to express how much I loved this movie. So honestly, 5 out of 5 stars from me. Actually, scratch that. 4.5. The 0.5 for being Natasha and Tony dying, but it's fine.
Okay, yes, I have to agree with you. Oh my God. So I'm like a total daddy's girl and everything, and almost every girl is. And my favorite scene of all time was at the beginning with Tony and his daughter when he figures out the whole time travel thing and he says shit, and then she repeats it, and then he blames it on his on the mom, and I'm just like, that is probably the most common dad thing to do. And just the Love You 3000 was probably the greatest thing ever. But then one of my other favorites is also eat a salad, because quite honestly, I was thinking the same thing. I'm just like, come on, Thor, lay off it. Oh God, there were so many that were my favorite. The America's ass, I will never get over that. Right. That is probably the greatest thing ever. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh God, what was happening? Oh, Tony was talking about, he was talking to Steve, like, the 2012, they were, like, all conversing and everything, and then Iron Man was like, I forgot that suit didn't do anything for your ass. And then Scott is just on Iron Man's shoulder. Yeah. And he's just like, I gotta say, that's America's ass. I just love it so much. This movie had so many parts that I just can't, like, narrow one single.
She's tearing up right now thinking about it. I love this movie. She is tearing up.
I love it so much. Oh, and then when my favorite character of all time, Star-Lord, this bitch comes back, and it's probably the greatest thing ever. Probably sound like a fucking lunatic right now, but you don't understand.
Oh. Okay, and your rating. How many stars out of 5?
4.85. Because the last, what is that, 15%?
Yeah.
It's because Natasha and Tony die. Yes. The only reason why they don't get a 5 out of 5.
Oh. Well, guys, it's been
a hell of a ride.
Oh, yeah, this one was very long. We don't really know how long our others are going to be, but there was a lot to cover in this movie. So we're thinking they'll probably be a little bit shorter than this.
Oh, yeah.
Probably a lot shorter than this. So our next podcast will be covering The Longest Ride. So if you really like hearing us talk, yeah, you do. If you made it this far, you gotta do something. You gotta be at least interested. Let's go ahead and watch the movie The Longest Ride. It's based off of Nicholas Sparks' book. And we'll see you next week. Rate, review, subscribe. This is Leah Smith and
Allie O'Hannon.
And we'll see you next week.